إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وصحبه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه بالإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters and elders, inshallah we will complete the second part of the khutbah of last Jum'ah and complete the khutbah itself, which is we came to give, not to take. And I mentioned yesterday that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us and sent this deen to give the world two gifts which the world needs critically today and which this world has always needed and will always need until the day of judgment. And these two gifts, the first of them is justice and the second of them is mercy. And as I mentioned to you, the dalil from the surah, from the ayah which we hear in every khutbah in Jummah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders you to do justice and to do more than justice, to do al-ihsan. What is more than justice? It is mercy. It is rahmah, which is a quality and sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu himself. It is the first and finest demonstration of al-ihsan. Ihsan is perfection, to do more than what is required, to do more than what is just, and to do it out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu and only to please Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has infinite beautiful names and attributes, and of these countless names, He jalla jalaluhu chose two, both associated with mercy and compassion, to be the beginning of every surah. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And He chose the same to introduce Himself in the opening of the Quran, Surah Al-Fatiha. And He chose this sifat of rahmah to be His introduction. And He chose it as His personal name, Ar-Rahman. And He named the whole surah after it. There are two names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, Allah and Ar-Rahman, which it is impermissible to give these names to a person, to a human being, without the addition of Abd before them. Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. We do this with Abdullah, but out of our ignorance, we do not do it with Abdul Rahman, and we call somebody Rahman Bhai, which is haram in Islam. It is like calling somebody Allah Bhai. Ar-Rahman and Allah are the two personal names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where it is obligatory to put Abd before the name. It is preferable to put Abd before all the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, but with these two names, it is part of the tawheed of asma wa sifat illahi ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So important is mercy in Islam that the name of the most sacred mountain was changed from the mountain of Arafah to the mountain of mercy, Jabalur Rahmah. The month of Ramadan is known as the month of Rahmah, Shahrur Rahmah. The most notable door to the Haram is known as the door of mercy, Babur Rahmah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most merciful, most compassionate, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. The Prophet of Islam, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, is known as Rahmatan lil Alameen. And the religion itself of Islam is known as the religion of mercy, the religion of rahmah. Even in war and while slaughtering of animals, Muslims are ordered to be merciful and compassionate. In terms of slaughtering, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us detailed directions of how it is to be done. That when you are slaughtering one animal, the other animal must not see that. It must not be done in the same place. You must use a knife which is very sharp so that there is least amount of pain to the animal. And so on. the expression of mercy even in the slaughtering of an animal. Our greeting itself is a greeting of mercy, and it is replied to by even more mercy. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And what is the reply? Wa alaikum assalamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My brothers and sisters, as the maxim goes, mercy must be the basis of law. For mere cold justice may become a source of injustice and evil if unaccompanied by mercy, tolerance and compassion. So what is mercy? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu said about his mercy. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qul ya ibadiyal ladhina asrafu ala anfusihim la taqnatu min rahmatillah. Innallaha yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the famous ayat of Surah Az-Zumar, he said, O ibadi, O my slaves, every word of the Quran demands that we reflect on it. Yeah, why did Allah not say, Ya ayyuhannas, O people? Allah could have said, Ya ayyuhannas. Allah said, Ya ibadi, my slaves. Why? Because it is the haqq of the slave on his owner that he must be treated with mercy. And by saying, Ya ibadi, by addressing and saying, O my slaves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is holding himself accountable to fulfill that haqq. And who can fulfill the haqq more than Allah? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O my slaves, who have transgressed against themselves. Because when we commit sin, we don't harm Allah. We harm ourselves. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Verily Allah forgives all sins. And truly He is oft forgiving and most merciful. Ajeeb the kalam of Allah. But how will we understand if we don't think, if we don't reflect? Yesterday one young brother came to me. And he comes to me regularly, every 6 months or 1 year, with a question. And he goes away with a question. So yesterday he came to me with a question and he said, I have come with a question. So I said, what happened to the last question you asked me? He said, it's still there. So yesterday's question, I asked him, what's the question? He said to me, why should I stop sinning? I said, don't. Go on sinning. He said, what's the point of that? I said, you tell me. You are asking me, why should I stop sinning? And when I tell you, go on sinning, you are saying, what is the point of that? You tell me. He said, no, I'm asking because I heard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive any sin. I said, yes. He said, I heard that if I commit a sin once and I ask forgiveness, Allah will forgive me. Then I commit the same sin again and I ask forgiveness, Allah will forgive me. And this will be infinite. I can commit the sin as many times as I want, and if I ask forgiveness, Allah will forgive me. Is it true? I said, yes, it is true. He said, then why should I stop sinning? I said, don't. He said, I don't understand. I said, you want me to restrict the mercy of my Rabb to please you? He said, it would make sense to me if I sinned once and you said Allah will never forgive you and you will go into Jahannam if you sin again. That would make sense to me. I said, I don't care what makes sense to you. I can only tell you what my Rabb said to me and said to you. And he said, he will forgive and he will forgive. Now you think if you die in the state of that sin, if you commit the sin and if you die without making tawbah, what happens to you? That's a different matter. But if you commit a sin and you ask forgiveness, wallahi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu said he will forgive. And neither me nor anyone on the face of this planet, born before now or born to be born until the day of judgment, can change that word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, لَا تَقْنَتُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. My brothers and sisters, in a hadith in Bukhari, narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who narrated from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the creation, He wrote in His book about Himself, and it is placed with Him on the throne, on the arsh. And what is written in that book? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote, verily My mercy overcomes My anger. Verily My mercy overcomes My anger. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in His kalam, in Suratul Anam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ لِمَنْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضُ قُلْ لِلَّهِ كتب على نفسه الرحمة ليجمعنكم إلى يوم القيامة لا ريب فيه الذين خسروا أنفسهم فهم لا يؤمنون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes, it is his haqq that we send durood and salam on him. So say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you don't have to say it loudly, but say it to yourself. Send durood and salam on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam constantly, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends His salam on you when you send salam on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to them, to whom does all that is evil, that is in the heavens and the earth, to whom does it belong? Say, to Allah. And say that He has prescribed mercy for Himself. Indeed, He will gather you together on the day of resurrection, about which there is no doubt. Those who destroy themselves will still not believe in Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, those who show mercy to their fellow beings will be shown mercy by the merciful Rabb. He did not say fellow humans, he said fellow beings. To all of creation, to the animals, to the trees, to the environment, to the forest, to the rivers, to the waters, to the everything. All beings, all creation. The one who shows mercy to creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show mercy to him. So show mercy to those on the earth, and He who is in the heavens will show mercy to you. And this is in Tirmidhi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, the one who does not show mercy to the people, Allah will not show him mercy on the day of judgment. Now what bigger assurances do we want? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu said about His messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. He said, we have not sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as anything except rahma, mercy, lil'alameen. He did not say lil'muslimeen, He did not say lil'nas, He said lil'alameen. For all the worlds, all the universe that we know, and all the parallel universes that may exist, all beings that Allah has created, which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, for all of that creation, that which we know and that which we do not know, who is the mercy for them? Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers and sisters, please understand and reflect. Mercy is what you show even though you have every justification not to show it. Mercy is what you show even though you have every justification not to show it. Mercy is not return for good behavior. It is good behavior despite bad behavior. It is to show kindness where punishment would have been justified. It is not to extract revenge and retribution, even though you would have the right to do so, but instead not even to sit quietly or ignore what happened, but to actually retaliate with goodness. It is tough, but the effect is miraculous. The one who benefits most from mercy is the one who shows it. Not the one who receives it, the one who shows it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. In Surah Al-Fussilat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the good deed and the evil deed cannot be equal. Repel the evil deed with one which is good, with one which is better. Then verily, he between whom and you there was enmity will become as though he was a close friend of yours. But none is granted this quality except those who have sabr, who are patient, and none is granted this except the owner of the great portion, which is Jannah. The one who does this, Allah is giving him bashara of Jannah in this life. Does what? Who does not retaliate in kind. Who returns good when he receives evil. Who does not even sit quietly and does nothing. Who actually retaliates with goodness, not with evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu said that his mercy overcomes his anger. The anger of Allah is just. It is deserved in full measure by those who deliberately disobey him and rebel against him, using the strength that they derive from him and after enjoying his bounty. Yet he says that his mercy overcomes his anger. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us to do the same and demonstrated this in his own life. My brothers and sisters, let me share with you some well-known examples from his seerah of how he treated his worst enemies. It is essential to study the seerah because this is the way we learn to love Allah and to emulate Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the key to success in this life and the key to Jannah and the Akhirah. Love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a part of our iman, without which we are not Muslim. The finest and most visible example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's treatment of enemies is in Fatah Makkah, when after having been driven away from his home after 13 years of merciless persecution, he spent 8 years in Medina in what could be described as exile from his motherland. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him victory over his enemies and persecutors, who had left no stone unturned in their efforts to harm him physically and mentally, and they tried to kill him and to destroy his reputation and credibility. He and his companions spent 13 years suffering all kinds of torture, physical and mental, in Makkah before being driven out altogether and their wealth was confiscated. Some of them had been killed. His own daughter, who was pregnant at the time, was injured and lost her baby and died from that injury. But when he entered Makkah, he didn't enter it like an avenging nemesis. He entered it with humbleness, reciting Surah Al-Fath, his head lowered so far down that his beard was almost touching the saddle of his camel. He was wearing a black turban and had a white banner. He made tawaf of the Kaaba and then called on Uthman bin Talha radiallahu anhu to bring the key of the Kaaba. Uthman bin Talha's family, Banu Abdiddar, are the keepers of the key of the Kaaba to this day. Uthman bin Talha radiallahu anhu brought the key to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who opened the Kaaba and had it cleaned. Then he came out and stood in the doorway, which is high up, and he called the people. This time they came respectfully to him, a far cry from their arrogance when he had first called them from Safa after receiving the wahi. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke to them and he said, Alhamdulillah, sadaqa wa'ada, nasara abda, wa hazama al-ahzaba wahda. He said, all praise and thanks be to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, who was true to his promise. He helped his slave and defeated the Confederates alone without any help. Families of anyone killed accidentally will be paid blood money of 100 camels each. All privilege of ancestry and pride that existed in Jahiliyyah are finished. All these privileges are beneath my feet. He recited then the surah, the ayah of Surah Al-Hujurat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha an-nasu inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'rafu inna akramakum 'indallahi atqakum innallaha 'alimun khabir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O mankind, we have created you from a male and a female and made you into nations and tribes that you may know one another. Verily, the most honorable of you with Allah is that believer who has taqwa. Verily, Allah is all-knowing and all-aware. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my brothers and sisters, was establishing a new world order based on virtue and piety. He was changing the definition of high net worth from money to taqwa. The definition of HNI, high network individual, from Abu Lahab to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The world is witness that as long as this order remained, the world knew peace and harmony. When this order was overthrown and the old world order of oppression and the rule of money was resumed, the world descended into the pit of living hell, where the background music to the storytelling is the weeping of bereaved mothers and the groaning of heartbroken fathers. A world without pity, without mercy. A world inhabited by human beings whose existence is a burden on the earth. It is the role of Islam and Muslims to reverse this and to bring back the rule of justice, compassion, peace and harmony. To bring back the rule of mutual respect and concern for the weak. That is why Allah sent us. That is why I say that we came to give. And that is what we came to give. That is what the world is waiting for, yearning for, something it needs the most. And that is what we will be held accountable for. I ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the key of the Kaaba in his hand. Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, combine for us the honors of feeding the Hujjaj and the key of the Kaaba. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Uthman bin Talha and he said, take the key and keep it forever. Nobody will take it from you except a tyrant. Think about this, my brothers and sisters. Who was more entitled to keep the key of the Kaaba? The messenger of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu and his family? Or a family who were the traditional keepers of the key, but which at that time were mostly non-Muslim? Who was more entitled to do that? Yet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam treated them justly, and he did not take the honor for his own family, even though he was entitled to do that, and he had the power to do it. Then he asked the Quraysh, what do you think I will do with you? They said, Anta Akhil Kareem, Wa Ibnul Akhil Kareem. They said, you are our honored brother. And you are the son of our honored brother. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idhabu, fa antumul tulaqa." He said, "Go away, fa antumul tulaqa, for you are freed slaves. You are the released ones." They were the captives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who, though he could have executed all the men and he could have taken the women and children as slaves, he released them. Not only did he release them, but he released them without even taking a ransom. So the people who became Muslim after the conquest of Makkah are called At-Tulaqa, the freed slaves of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The only exceptions were 7 who were sentenced to death for their crimes, but some of those also were later pardoned. One of them was Abdullah bin Abi Sarh, who had been given the death sentence. Because he claimed to receive wahi, and he wrote wahi, and he wrote what he claimed to be wahi, and so on, and he caused a lot of confusion among the Muslims at that time. He came to Islam, then he became murtad, and he did all of this. Now Abdullah bin Abi Sarha was the brother of Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, because of breastfeeding. So he went to Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu and asked for his protection, and said that Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu took him secretly to Rasulullah. So he came and sat in front of the Prophet and he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka Rasulullah. He said, I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, and that you are the messenger of Allah. Nabi sallallahu kept silent. So Abdullah bin Abi Sarah repeated. He said, I have come to give you bayah, ya Rasulullah, and this is my bayah. Nabi sallallahu kept silent. So he repeated a third time. Now when he repeated a third time, Rasulullah extended his hand and he accepted his bayah. So Abdullah bin Abi Sarah came back to Islam, and all his previous sins forgiven. And after that, he got up and left. And after he left, Rasulullah said to the people with him, he said, wasn't there anyone among you who understood what I had originally ordered, that this man was to be killed? And wasn't there anyone among you that when I was silent, that he got up and killed this man? So among the Ansar, one of them said, Ya Rasulullah, if you had only signaled to us, even with your eyes, we would have done that. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, prophets do not kill by giving signals. Ajib. This is a man who is corrupting the wahi. What is a bigger problem than that? A man on whom the death sentence had already been passed. But Rasulullah ﷺ forgave him. And ajib the ways of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he knows who is what. Abdullah bin Abi Sarha held some very senior positions in the Khilafah of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and subsequently in the Khilafah of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, and eventually he died in sujood in Salatul Fajr. Yeah, so this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his ways. Sayyid bin Musayyib radiallahu anhu said the night of the conquest of Makkah was not a night of celebration in the normal sense. The Sahaba were making tawaf around the Kaaba and making takbir and tahleel all night. And Abu Sufyan went to his wife Hind and asked her, do you think this is from Allah? And she said, yes, this is from Allah. Later Abu Sufyan met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Sufyan, you asked Hind if this was from Allah. And she replied, yes, this is from Allah. Abu Sufyan said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Because until then Abu Sufyan was like halfway in and halfway out. And when he got this news, he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. And he became Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu. My brothers and sisters, this was the message, and this is the message of Rasulullah, a message of mercy even for enemies. Now those who learned from him learned this message very well. Atha bin Yasar radiallahu anhu reported that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, it happened that Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu hired himself out one night to water some date palms, and in exchange for that he got some barley. He made it into three parts and they cooked something with it, which is called Al-Khazira. Now when it was cooked, a poor man came begging and they gave it to him. Then they took the second one third of this barley and they cooked again. And when the food was ready, they said, an orphan came begging and they gave him the food. And now they had the last part of that barley, only food in the house. Last part of that barley, they cooked it. When the food was ready, A prisoner who was not a Muslim came and asked for food, and they fed it to him. And they went hungry all that whole day. They had no food. Who is this? Ali bin Abi Talib and Fatima bint Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and their children. Find me a family which has greater status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than this family. And they told nobody. But there is one who does not need to be told, because he knows العليم الخبير السميع البصير ذو الجلال والإكرام. And he revealed these ayats of Surah Al-Dahr, Surah Al-Insan. And he said, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا. And Allah revealed and said, and they give food despite their love for it, despite their hunger, despite their need for it, to the miskeen, to the poor, to the orphan, and to the slave, to the captive, saying, we feed you only to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure, to seek Allah's countenance. We wish for no reward and no thanks from you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on the way from Makkah. After Fatah Makkah, he was going to Taif, the battle which came to be known as the Battle of Hunain. Now the army had more than 10,000 soldiers, very well equipped, and they were going. On the way, they camped in a place. And it was time for Salah, and Sayyidina Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu called the Adhan. Now remember, this army which was going to Taif had a lot of people in it who had just come into Islam a few days back. So there was no tarbiyah. They had no company of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There was no tarbiyah. They had not really learned Islamic manners, nothing. But they were Muslim. And among them were a group of young men from Quraysh, the aristocrats of Quraysh, who had been the enemies of Islam and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam until Fatah Makkah, and who came into Islam after Fatah Makkah. So when Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu was calling the Adhan, this group of people, they were sitting there and they were laughing at Bilal. And he said, what's this black man? He's like a crow, he's crying, he's making this noise. And one of them was particularly vocal and particularly abusive. When the Adhan finished, somebody came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, Rasulullah, this group of people, they were making fun of Bilal and they were mocking him and they were abusing him. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, call them. So they went to call this group of people. Now imagine the situation. Imagine those boys or young men. They got caught in the act and they're being called to the commander-in-chief of the army. They are inside that army. There's no escape. So they came petrified. They thought, now this is the end. We are going to be chopped. They came and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, sit down. They sat in front of him. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who was making fun of Bilal? And they knew. He knew who it was. So the man said, Ya Rasulullah, it was me. He said, come close. And the man must have thought, this is it. Now when I come close, he's going to signal to somebody and they chop my neck. When the man was sitting next to him, close to him, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do you want me to teach you how to call Adhan? So the man said, Ya Rasulullah, please teach me. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, listen to me and repeat after me. And I imagine that this is how it must have been. Where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And the man repeated, Allahu Akbar, Allahu. And the man repeated, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. The man repeated, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. అషహదు అన్న ముహమ్మదర్ రసూలుల్లాహ్. అండ్ ద మ్యాన్ రిపీటెడ్, హయ్యాల సలా, హయ్యాల సలా, హయ్యాల الفلاح. الله أكبر, الله أكبر, لا إله إلا الله. The man repeated, and then the man said to him, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I have a request. He said, make me the Imam of the Haram of Makkah. He said, Bilal is your Imam in Medina. He said, make me the Imam of the Haram of Makkah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you are the Imam of Haram of Makkah. The historians say that the man lived to be almost 100 years old. Allah gave him a long life. And they say that he used to come for every salah. He would make tawaf of the Kaaba. He would pray two rakat of nafil. And then he would call the adhan. His whole life, every salah. This is the power of mercy. How long would it have taken Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to order the man's neck to be chopped? And if he had done it, it would have been an exemplary punishment. No doubt about that. He could have had him whipped. He could have had him imprisoned. But what was more powerful? My brothers and sisters, we did not come into this world to punish people. We did not come into this world to curse people. We did not come into this world to kill people. We came into this world to bring the mercy of Allah to His creatures. William Muir, who was an Orientalist, and he was in India. He was a high official of the government of British India. He was a member of the Viceroy's Finance Committee. And he was a very well-known Islamic scholar, not a Muslim scholar. And he was a critic of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And his book is called Life of Muhammad, which he spells M-A-H-O-M-E-T, which is the wrong spelling, Muhammad. This book was criticized by other historians, non-Muslim historians, as being almost pure Christian propaganda. But the same William Muir, in that book, he wrote the following. He said, in pursuance of Muhammad's commands, the citizens of Medina and such of the refugees, by which he means the Muhajirun, who possessed houses, received prisoners of war and treated them with much consideration. Blessings be on the men of Medina, said one of the prisoners in later days. They made us ride while they themselves walked, and they gave us wheaten bread to eat when there was little of it, contenting themselves with dates. Who's writing this? A critic of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. During his rule, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu made it illegal to separate related prisoners of war from each other. And this happened after a captive lady complained to him about being separated from her daughter. Prisoners have rights? Yes, in Islam they do. These principles were also honored during the Crusades, as exemplified by sultans such as Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayh and his nephew Al-Kamil, whose full name was Al-Malikul Kamil. He was called the complete king, Al-Malikul Kamil Nasiruddin Abu Al-Ma'ali Muhammad, the fourth Ayyubi ruler of Egypt, who during his tenure as sultan defeated two crusades. After Al-Kamil defeated the Franks, the Europeans, the Franks, during the crusades, Olivetus Scholasticus, he praised the Islamic laws of war and he commented on how Al-Kamil supplied the defeated Frankish army with food. The following are the words of Olivetus Scholasticus, the Christian commander of the crusades. He says, "Who could doubt that such goodness, friendship and charity come from God? Men whose parents, sons and daughters, brothers and sisters had died in agony at our hands, whose lands we took, whom we drove naked from their homes, revived us with their own food when we were dying of hunger, and they showered us with kindness even when we were in their power." My brothers and sisters, please show me where it is permitted under Islamic law to execute prisoners by slaughtering them like sheep and beheading them in public. Please show me one ayah of the Quran or one hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ where the Muslim has been ordered to kill a non-Muslim only because he is not Muslim. Show me one order of Allah or his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam which permits Muslims to torture their prisoners. The scholars of Islam are united upon the opinion that there is no permission to execute a prisoner of war irrespective of his religion, and that he must be housed and fed with dignity, must not be put to hardship, and must not be tortured. Today, those who claim to be the bastions of civilization need to explain their progressive laws which permit torture where the laws of Islam banned torture 14 centuries ago. There is no law as just and merciful as the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is what Islamic law is. The most important lesson that I want to draw from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mercy, forgiveness and magnanimity. His conduct when he entered Makkah as its conqueror is an example of all humanity. It's an example for all humanity for all time. An example of personal humility, a big heart and mercy. The Quraysh who tormented him and drove him from his home, who caused him immense physical and emotional pain, who were directly and indirectly responsible for the deaths of those he loved the most, his uncles, his wife and his daughter, and his companions who he loved even more than his family, were finally at his mercy. So what did he do? He forgave them. He announced a general amnesty and that there would be no revenge, which was an age-old custom among the Arab tribes. The key thing to understand is that to end violence, we have to break the cycle. And the only one who can do that is the one who is suffering from it. No matter how difficult it may seem, and Allah knows it is very tough, the one suffering has to forgive. Only then does the help of Allah come and the heart of the oppressor changes. Rasulullah ﷺ did not forgive the Quraysh because he was afraid of them. He forgave them when he was in a position of power and could have legally and justifiably taken revenge. But he didn't. He forgave them and took the wind out of their sails. People were shocked, astonished, astounded. They could not believe their eyes and ears. They hid in their homes at first, fully expecting the victorious Muslim soldiers to break into their homes to loot and rampage as victorious forces are wont to do. But nothing happened. Eventually, Hind, the wife of Abu Sufyan, a woman who was a bitter enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and who was responsible for the mutilation of the body of his uncle Sayyidina Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu, left her home to see what was happening. And what did she see? She saw Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions praying in the haram and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his mercy and help. My brothers and sisters, it is true that as a victor, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have taken revenge. But that would have opened new wounds, which would have set off a new series of conflicts, all resulting in delay or defeat of his real mission, the spreading of his message. By forgiving those who had wronged him, he sent a powerful message that the mission was above all personal considerations. And he put those who had wronged him in his debt. Instead of fighting them and hating him, they were now grateful to him and they wanted to please him. At one stroke, he laid to rest all future potential conflicts and vendettas among his followers, without which his mission would have failed. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam defeated his enemies by killing enmity, not by killing enemies. He defeated his enemies by killing enmity, not by killing his enemies. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us into this world with a purpose. And that purpose was to give, not to take. We came to give justice. We came to give mercy. Let us ask ourselves what we are doing today. Are we fulfilling that purpose or are we doing the opposite? Nobody can harm or help without the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we see Muslims in problems not because Allah cannot help us, but because Allah will not help those who are not fulfilling the duty for which they came. We came to give justice. We came to give mercy. What others do or do not do has no reflection on what we are supposed to do. Please understand this, because we constantly hear this argument. But look at them. Look at what they are doing. Look at what the Jews are doing. Look at what the Americans are doing. Look at what the RSS is doing. We don't care who is doing what. The RSS is not my teacher. The Jews are not my teacher. The Zionists are not my teacher. The Americans are not my teacher. The Chinese and the Indians and the Pakistanis and the whoever is not my teacher. My teacher is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I don't care what anybody does or does not do. I will do what my Nabi taught me to do. Because only then will I get the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. I cannot get the help of Allah if I am going against the commandments of my own prophet, my own Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I use the excuse of what people who do not know Allah are doing. How can my excuse be the actions and the conduct of people who do not even know who Allah is? Is that my excuse? Is that a valid excuse for somebody who claims to know Allah as every Muslim claims to know Allah? My brothers and sisters, Allah does not change the condition of a people until they change themselves. It is time for us to wake up, open our eyes, shut our ears and eyes to whatever is happening in the world. Look at what we will face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. Let us learn to forgive. Let us learn to break the cycle by not retaliating in kind, but by retaliating kindly. By retaliating with kindness. Do not retaliate in kind. Retaliate with kindness. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to make it easy for us to take away the hardship, to help the oppressed, to take away the oppressors. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the hearts of the believers to His love and to the love of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to connect ourselves to Him and to build our ta'alluq with Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Just one announcement. We are doing the Leadership Excellence course in Hyderabad once again, I think after about 5 years now. And that course will be from the 24th to the 27th of January. The notice is on the board. Take a look at that. Those of you who are interested can register. This is a unique course which we teach across the world in different countries. And it's come back to Hyderabad now after 4 years. And inshallah, I will be teaching this course. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put khair in this and to enable us to benefit from this. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain.